Hey Beeps, it's me, Christine, and I want to share with you a game-changing product that has improved my sleep and daily health. So let's dive in. You all know through my journey, I have struggled with sleep, being afraid of it, not getting quality sleep, and not being able to regulate my temperature throughout the night. I definitely learned the hard way, but sleep matters big time. It's when your muscles repair, your brain detoxes, and your body can work on cellular renewal. We just can't afford to miss out on an adequate amount of high-quality sleep, which is kind of hard when you have a rare disease. There's not much that I control in this real life, but one of the easiest and most effective ways to get better sleep every single night is through temperature regulation. Studies actually prove cooler temperatures lead to a deeper, more restful sleep, and that insomniacs actually lack this natural drop in core body temperature, which is what keeps them up at night. Personally, I run hot. This means that even if my room is super cold, I wake up in a pool of sweat, uncomfortable, changing my clothes several times throughout the night. It's frustrating for obvious reasons, and this is why I was so relieved to discover this transformative product from Chili. The Cube from Chili Sleep is a system that fits right over the top of your mattress and uses water to control the temperature of your bed, which helps lower your internal temperature and triggers deeper, relaxing sleep. Since water has 30 times more thermal conductivity than air, these systems are a lot more effective than just cranking up the AC. I mean, I keep my house at 65, so it has to be true. Ever since I started using the Cube system, I've noticed I fall asleep a lot faster, sleep deeper, and wake up feeling fully rested. Now, my wife is not a polar bear like me and likes to sleep a little bit warmer. So I love that we can each have our own temperatures on either side of the bed. Chili products can range between 55 and 115 degrees. Right now, Chili is offering my audience a really great deal. When you go to chilisleep.com/findyourrare20, you get 20% off the Cube All Sleep Systems with Find Your Rare 20. Sleep is something we could all use more of, and we can all take small steps towards getting better sleep to improve our life in big ways. I hope you'll check out the Chili Sleep System and see why I love their product so much.
Welcome to the Because We're Strong podcast, where we talk all things rare disease and chronic illness and how to navigate a rare life. Together, we're sitting down every week to get your stories and insight on how you navigate this rare life. You can expect everything real and raw in the hopes that your story, along with ours, helps another person who is dealing with a similar rare struggle. So grab your favorite drink, a comfy blanket, and buckle in, because rare disease isn't for the faint of heart.
Hey peeps, I'm not sure how many of you know this, but I actually have been through 3 spinal surgeries since 2016. It's not something I often talk about, but it's a huge part of who I am. I deal with chronic pain daily, but most would never know. When we came across Brooke's Instagram, we wanted to connect with her and her story because it resonated with me so much. Brooke is an inspirational speaker, business and life coach, and invisible disabilities advocate. She combines her entertainment background and 9-year spinal injury recovery journey to empower others. Looking at you, Brooke, you would never know that you have gone through what you have. I'm your host, Teresa.
And I'm Christine. Let's dive in. Thank you so much for being with us, Brooke.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm super excited to hear your story because although our stories differ a lot, the pain and suffering, as you know, that come with spinal injuries, you really, at least I can't quite put into words. So could you take our listeners back to where, you know, your journey with your spinal surgeries and stuff like that started? When I was looking into your story, it looked like it started with a car accident.
Yes, it began with a car accident. There were a series of events actually that occurred, but it began with that. And I think the hardest part about it, one of the hardest parts, would be that it was not instant. If it had been, I think it would have made this journey a lot more easier. I would have had answers and I would have known what was going on right away. But instead, that kicked off a series of events in my body that were unseen to the naked eye. So
that's pain. Crazy.
Yeah. So
like there's no pivotal moment almost, like, or at least at the time you couldn't see it.
It was one of those things where I was in a car accident. It was a 4-car pileup on the 101 for anyone who knows LA. And I was in the middle. So my car was totaled, but I wasn't wheeled away on a stretcher. You know, it wasn't like that. There was a lot of pain, but I could move. I could walk. So I started being seen for pain, which, as you know, Teresa, and most people that are listening, when you're talking about any pain that is a result of a spinal injury, I mean, it's significant.
Yeah.
But I was managing somehow, you know, and I was going to physical therapy 6 days a week, and I was having all kinds of things done. What we didn't know for almost the whole first year was that it was going to impact my breathing and my speaking. So
that is terrifying.
Exactly. And that took a long time to start to show. And finally, by the end of the first year, I had been hospitalized. I mean, more emergency visits than I can count. Tons of specialists, surgeries, this and the other. But this time, oh gosh, yeah, a little over, yeah, this time 9 years ago, I spent Thanksgiving in the hospital and I was there for November and December. And they still didn't know what was going on completely. But I was in the cardiac unit because my heart rate was out of control and I was having difficulty breathing.
I think it's so fascinating because, you know, although we're not talking about a specific rare disease this time, you know, it kind of boils down to a lot of what I say, a lot of what a lot of people in this community say, which is, you know, they didn't know, you know, like, so there's this thing that's wrong with you and they didn't know. And that's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important for all of us to understand that doctors are great at what they do. Most of them are, you know, they have a lot of schooling, they have a lot of experience and practice, but they're not the be all end all. Most doctors specialize in one area. So yeah, if you go to them with something that, even though maybe the symptoms are presenting in that area, if it doesn't originate in that area, they're not always going to know exactly, you know, where, what direction to point you to. And so that for me, I had a 3-year wild goose chase. I just felt like a guinea pig and all the while going downhill. And it was one Band-Aid after another.
Wow.
So how did that, like, did you ever find yourself going to these doctors and them, you know, making it more about like a mental health thing, like not really believing you, or, you know, were they actually like, okay, something's here, we just can't figure it out?
Oh my gosh. I heard everything, the whole spectrum, which is so confusing when they're telling you all kinds of things. So absolutely. I had people tell me that it was in my head. I had people tell me that it was time to get ready to say my goodbyes. I had everything. I mean, I had no clue who to believe. And that's really how I got to the point of realizing, oh my gosh, if I'm going to get through this and I'm going to survive, I have to somehow become my own advocate, because I can't rely on these people to have the answers.
Brooke, you've been talking to my mom. She tells me that all the time. She is like, you have to become the captain of your ship. And I'm like, Mom, this isn't Peter Pan. Leave me alone.
I love that. Yes, captain of your ship. Indeed. Definitely.
Great. Now, everyone, here you go, Mom. That was your little, like, you know, nod to you.
Yeah, way to go, Mom.
Can you explain to people what recovering from an injury like that entails? And at the time, did you even know you were recovering from an injury?
How much time do we have to talk?
As much time as you want. This is your story.
Months, years, we can just keep going. Oh my gosh. What is it like? It's like you're in this dark cave with no light at the end of the tunnel. And you're just hoping every day to catch a glimmer of light. And when you do, you cling to it. That's what each day felt like. It was confusing. It was dark. There were no answers. And any time I thought I had even a semblance of an answer, I would go with it and try it out, because what did I have to lose? So for me, I had, like I said, the 3 years of guinea pig, wild goose chase, hospitalizations, surgeries, every day, 6 days a week, I was with a doctor, Monday to Saturday, various doctors, and just trying anything to help. And then what we found was that by me being transported to the doctor, that was agitating my condition. So it didn't make sense to continue doing that, because I would show up at the doctor and I would present as someone with symptoms that were out of control. And then the time spent at the doctor was just to get my body to calm down. And then coming back home, anything done at the doctor was negated.
Wow.
It wasn't even worth it. So the decision was made for me to become housebound in 2014.
So you were quarantining before quarantining was cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm the quarantine queen. Yes.
You heard it here first, folks.
I think, yeah. Okay. Trademark. I'm going to do that. Yeah. So I became housebound in 2014. A doctor started coming to our place 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, for anywhere between 4 to 6 hours each time. And he would do all kinds of things that are very out of the box. He'd bring all these machines, anything to get and keep my breathing going. And also various manipulations, if you will, to try to open up space in my cervical and thoracic to try to help the breathing along. What happened, and I'll share it on here specifically. On podcasts, I usually don't go into this much detail because people don't understand, but I'm sure your listeners will. There had been a nerve affected, which is the vagus nerve. And that nerve runs through the body and connects to every major system. It's like the motherboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love the vagus nerve around here.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, if that's been impacted, if, like, for anything can happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's like sky's the limit. And so, yeah. For me,
that's not the Vegas we like to go to.
That is that's not the Vegas of our choosing by any means. And so I would stand up, my heart rate would go to 160. I would fall down because it was impacting my cardiovascular system. It was impacting pulmonary.
That's like so crazy. Cause like I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, your situation, and I have very similar situations in terms of like my heart rate will drop and, you know, fainting, all this different stuff. And that's part of like autodysnomia. So like, it was like you were thrown into this rare world or like, you know, unknown or whatever, but there's so many medical conditions it could have been.
Yeah. And what's interesting is I would see the paperwork with various doctors and there were all kinds of names on the paper. Right? Like, I mean, you name it, this apathy and that, blah, blah, blah. But really, I was just looking for what does this all mean and how do we fix it? And can we fix it? And I didn't want to accept that this was going to be it. I knew that things were worsening and that if I didn't find answers and find answers soon, I was pretty much done. You know, it was that severe. And so that then being housebound, that was, oh my gosh. I mean, you can imagine the doctor would come and the rest of the time I was laying on a massage table, flat on my back, staring at the ceiling 24/7, all day, every day. My partner would spoon feed me. He would get me up if I needed to sit up. He would take me to the bathroom. He would read to me.
Oh,
I mean, it was just
shout out to him. November is Caregiver Awareness Month.
Is it really? Oh, I didn't know. Oops.
Oh. So just a little special shout out right there, because it's not easy being them.
No, they're incredible. And they're the reason why a lot of us are here.
Yes.
Yes. That's a time. Very, very good point.
I'm so glad you shared that. Thank you. And so, yeah, that was my life. And it took a toll on me mentally and emotionally, as you can imagine. And, you know, all the stuff happened that you never think will happen. All the auxiliary stuff, you know, the external things, like I became estranged from my family because they didn't understand. They didn't want to understand.
Yes, that is a very key point right there.
Mm-hmm. And so they thought, because I wasn't calling them and keeping in touch, that was me not.
Oh, this is a sensitive topic. This is a sensitive topic, but yes, keep going.
Okay. We don't have to go there if you don't want to.
No. Of course we want to go here.
We go there.
I'm just saying that we go there. It's like, oh my gosh. Yes. Because just finish it off, Brooke. Knock it home.
Well, let's just say it was the most heartbreaking thing I've ever been through. And that I think anyone ever can go through when you are literally fighting for your life, you know, and you're struggling to breathe every second of every day. And the people that you assume would always be there if the crap ever hit the fan, all of a sudden they're not there.
Yeah.
And that can be family. It happened to me with family and my parents, you know, parents. And yes, it happened with my friends. All of a sudden, where are these people? Where are these people that were always in your life and that you've always been there
for? Everyone's around when I was drinking a
beer. That's exactly right. Yeah. And everyone's around when everything is gravy. But no, when it's not roses and lollipops, they just jump the ship. And
I just want to say, I think that's so, I'm so happy you brought this up because, you know, I think I say this like all the time where it's like, you know, and then I feel silly, right? Like maybe I shouldn't, but this like was so validating where it's like, you know, I'm sick. And if you don't hear from me for like an extenuated period of time, like, was I not important enough for you to even ask if I'm okay? Or like, you know, why, like, is it uncomfortable? Like, I don't know why. And then it's like people get in their feelings almost where it's like, oh, well, she's not reaching out to me. Well, girlfriend, like, I'm like, I know you're used to me being the person who's always on my phone and always reaching out, but like, I don't know what life you think I live anymore, but it's not that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. I feel like we could talk about this for hours.
Could be a whole nother episode.
And I'm not sure, I'm not sure how your experience was with this, Brooke, because you were definitely a lot more severe than me. I didn't have any issues with, breathing or anything like that. My, nerve damage was more lower level. But like people would see me like, I can't work anymore. I can't do the job that I did before because it was constantly making me have recurrent surgeries. But in between, you know, people would see me out with my family or with my kids and they would automatically be like, she has to be lying.
Yeah.
She has to be lying about the pain that she's in. And it's like, no, if I don't go about my day and I act the way I feel, I'm not going to get out of my bed.
Yep. Absolutely. I can relate to that 100%. 100%.
And that was so hard for me because I was like, why do I have to convince people?
I can relate to both of you on. It's like, here I am struggling to look and perceive normal wherever while also trying to prove to you all that I'm actually as sick as I say.
Yes. Yes.
And so I feel like that very, very much so sounds like what the both of you are describing.
Definitely. And I have to say, it's really, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know what word to choose here, but let's go with comforting. It's kind of comforting that you can both relate to that. And I know there are so many people out there who can. I'm sure a lot of people listening can. And on one side, that's extremely sad. But then I think we can also choose to see it as very strong and empowering, you know, that we've all been in those positions and yet here we are.
Right.
You know, I think.
Absolutely. And I think, Brooke, you know, this is a great example, in my opinion, of like one of the main things we're trying to do with Rare, which is, we're all fighting a battle and it doesn't have to look the same to result within the same feeling of isolation, being alone, you know, not wanting to X or Z, just insert what it you want to insert. Like, we're all dealing with it. And, you know, it took every one of us, all three of us to get to this podcast, went through a complete day, right? And it looked different. And we don't know what it took each of us to get to this exact moment. And, you know, just be kind, listen to one another.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And to also just look at people with an open mind, you know, and not be so quick to judge or assume.
judge less, listen more. What was it like to, I mean, it sounds like it was not really overnight, but what was it like to wake up and realize that your life would no longer be the life that maybe you had thought or had planned and that was just going to look completely different? Was that a process or was that like, how was that for you?
That has been a process. That has taken years for me to grieve my former life. And I still wonder sometimes, you know, would I ever be able to get to that point again? I think that if you're like me, maybe you're an overthinker, and especially when you're given a lot of time to just be with yourself.
I'm not an overthinker at all.
Yeah. Oh, you're so full of crap.
And I think
I was waiting. I just figured I'd get the comment in before Teresa got to say, like, I don't know anyone like that.
I was waiting and ready.
But yeah, I mean, we can definitely go down that rabbit hole. I mean, I spent years in that rabbit hole. I did not want to give up on the life I had, but I had no idea how to get back to it. And my partner would always say, you know, it isn't going to be like that again. And you know, things are different and let's focus on the future, you know, move forward. That was so, so challenging for me. And so I stayed stuck for years because I wanted what I no longer had. And I refused to move forward, you know, mentally and emotionally. I was moving forward physically, but I mentally and emotionally, I was still the Brooke of a decade ago and wanted that very much so.
So Brooke, I know that you're a coach. I'll be signing up with you because everyone on this podcast listening does know that I speak about being stuck very often, how I can see acceptance and I know I got to go through it. However, so don't worry, everyone. I will leave the review on how great Brooke is when she gets me to the other side.
Thank you. Yeah, well, that's actually, it's funny you say that because that's part of why I got into coaching, obviously. And it took me a long time to get to this place. But what happened on the coaching side of things was I decided that I wanted to start working again little by little. I knew I couldn't, just like you said, Teresa, I couldn't go back and do what I did before. What I did before, I was mostly an actor, a host, and a spokesperson and consultant. But a lot of what I did was on camera, and it involved being here and there and everywhere because I was on commercials and on stage and whatnot. So that was out the window. And so I had to come up with something where I could do it from home. And I could do it on my own time when I felt strong enough to do it. By strong enough, I mean like even being able to speak for longer periods of time, like have an hour long Zoom call with someone. That, when I began, was, oh my gosh, I mean, the most taxing thing. It was like running a marathon. And so I went down that path little by little, and a lot for me, the housebound years started in 2014, and now here we are 6 years later. So a lot of these years, it's been a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, one step forward, three steps back, three steps forward, one step back, you know, like this crazy Macarena or whatever I was doing. And so I began on the business coaching side, because that's what I knew, working with Fortune 500 companies. And what I found was a lot of the people I was coaching, mostly entrepreneurs and fellow coaches and small business owners, they would only go so far with their businesses. And we were working on marketing and being creative and being confident in their speaking, you know, on video and all this stuff. But they had this stuff getting in the way. And so we started to dig into that. And everything I had learned during my journey, I started to apply to them. And all of a sudden, they were having these huge epiphanies because we were getting to the root of their false limiting beliefs. You know, we were getting to the root of everything, just like I was talking about before with doctors, where you're just addressing the symptoms and you're band-aiding things.
Yeah.
You know, you really do need to eventually get to the root. You know, God or universe, higher power, whatever you want to call it, is going to say, all right, like, fine, you can play with these band-aids for some time, but there's going to come a point where we're going to have to get to that root and address it. And that's how I approach coaching. So that's why I do a blend. It's like a blend of business and life coaching, because we are one person. We don't shut down our laptop and then all of a sudden business is over and we're a brand new person. You know, I don't go from Brooke to Betty. You know, I'm still Brooke. So of course, right, my personal life is going to impact my professional and vice versa.
Exactly. One of the things that you said that I really love, and I really hope people just take from this episode, is you talked about grieving the life that you once had. And, you know, I can't, there's like no better way to say that, because when you are someone that's successful, you clearly were successful. You had this great job. You had all these different aspects about yourself that helped make you who you are. And you worked obviously very hard to get where you were, and that's all gone now. And you're still there, but all of those things, you know, that you love to do and that you can't do anymore, it really is. You're grieving. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people see me and what I'm doing now, and one of the things they say to me a lot is, oh, I'm so glad you're doing better. And I'm like, I'm not really, though.
The worst.
It, you know, like it's, and you know, they don't mean anything by it, but it's like, I want people to realize like these types of things, these types of injuries and the recovery, like these are not like a flip of the switch recovery. You're left with things that you will deal with for the rest of your life. And
mentally and physically, though.
Yes. Yes. And you know, one of the things that I don't feel like is talked about enough, and you know, I was like, wow, I really can't wait to hear this side of her story, is, you know, the mental anguish that you go through and the depression and, you know, those feelings of, do I want to be here anymore? And, you know, you shared in your video and here tonight that, you know, you always thought people would be there for you. And, you know, you wrote, you felt ignored. And what you were going through is being downplayed. And I remember reading that and being like, oh my gosh, I feel like I wrote this. Like, you know? And just the isolation that you talked about, I know it's personal, but would you be willing to share your journey with that depression and, you know, the suicidal aspects of it, and to give our listeners an idea of really what that looked for you, what that isolation felt
like?
Sure,
I would be happy to. And it took me a long time to get to this point of being in a place where I was willing to talk about it. I'm happy to talk about it now. But I will say to anyone who's listening, if you've been through something like that, as traumatic as that, and you don't feel up to sharing about it, even with yourself, you know, if you don't feel up to journaling about it, that's perfectly fine. You know, give yourself that break and give yourself that grace.
Show grace. We always say that.
Yeah, exactly. And it took me a long time to get here and a lot of work.
I couldn't even listen to like podcasts like this when I like, you never know how these things are going to unravel.
Oh my gosh. But, no.
But like, this was not something I could do, was even listen. So never mind acknowledging it to myself. So I love that you just said that.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I mean, well, and I'll share this too. And here's like, you know, this extremely very human, vulnerable side to me. I'll just say that I really wish I had had my story to hear while I was going through it, because I couldn't find anything like that, you know, and I searched for it and I just couldn't find it. And that's when finally, I mean, I took to live streaming in 2015. I started sharing my journey and the doctor visits, because I thought, if this doesn't exist, if I haven't been able to find it, maybe it doesn't exist. And maybe there's someone, just one human being out there that needs to see this or needs to hear this. And so because I couldn't find it, I chose to create it. I, on the other hand, though, if I would listen to anyone talking about something that they were going through, let's say physically, right, I would want to chuck the phone out the window, because I couldn't believe the things that people would complain about, you know, like,
yes,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, maybe on a scale from 1 to 10, they're dealing with something that's a 1 and they think, oh my gosh, you know, the world is coming to an end. And you think, wait a second, I've been dealing nonstop for years with something that's a 10. I'm like, you know, I don't understand, like, does not compute. How can you think that this one is such a big deal? But of course, you know, I was judging. I was judging people that for them, that one, maybe it was a 10.
Right.
And absolutely. You know, but I completely understand what you're saying, Christine, because I couldn't listen to anything like this either.
Yeah. And for me, it was just like, I wasn't willing to hear it. Like, it was like, honestly, even so much, my wife always makes fun of me because up until, honestly, probably when me and Teresa started working together, people would like tell me about their disease and I would listen and listen and listen. And she'd be like, well, did you look it up? I was like, no. She's like, why not? I was like, cause I deal with my disease and I don't want to know anymore bad. Like, and that's what it felt like. It felt like I was not going to find the answers to my disease and I'll listen to anybody, but I didn't want to learn more about other diseases because it felt overwhelming.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Your cup is already full at that point. Yeah. And so in answer to your question, Teresa, about going through the mental side of it, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to begin. It was so dark and I really can't believe that I'm here right now. I can't believe I'm here. I feel like it's by the grace of God, I'm getting this second chance. I was battling the physical side of things while dealing with the mental and emotional side. And it was such a strange fight between the two because I was trying to get through the physical stuff, but then emotionally and mentally, I didn't want to be here.
Can I ask you, did you know, like at the time, or maybe at some point you did, but like how much of a mental component was happening?
No, not at the time. Not at the time. I felt, you know, this is the best thing I can think of in terms of a comparison. It was like the movie Ghost. Do you remember Ghost?
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a good movie.
Oh my God.
So good. For anyone out there, any like, you know, Gen Z or whatever, if you've never seen it, watch it. And so in the movie, he passes away and Whoopi Goldberg is this, I guess, medium is what you would call her. And he wants to speak to his wife, who is Demi Moore. And so he goes into Whoopi Goldberg's body and they interact. That's what it felt like. For years, it felt like someone else had taken over my body and I was just existing.
Almost like watching a movie of your own life.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It was. Yeah,
I know that feeling.
Every day was Groundhog Day because it was the way I described it before for the housebound years. And I was just in such a dark place and every second felt like an hour. And so during that time, like I said, I became estranged from my family and friends. And even my own stepsister didn't invite me to her wedding. I mean, so many things happened where I just felt like, what was the point? You know, I felt like it wouldn't have mattered if I wasn't here, that no one would notice. And I wondered why I was trying so hard to get through this if at the end of the day, no one would be there. So for me, I had to dig so deep and hold on to faith and believe that there was a reason for all this because I couldn't understand it. And I had no proof that this was going to work out. And I wanted out. Several times I wanted out of the situation. I was very suicidal, but somehow I'm still here and I'm so glad that I am. I'm so glad that I am. And this is what I needed to hear while I was going through that. I needed to hear from someone who had been there in that darkness, in a deep, dark pit with no light and no glimmer of hope. I needed that person years later in the future to then say, look, I was there. I know how it feels. I know it's excruciating on so many levels and heartbreaking and you feel lost and you don't want to go on because you don't have a reason to, but it will get better. Just hang on. There is a reason. It's unbeknownst to you right now, but at some point it'll show itself.
I love that because oftentimes I say, I'm not like into like the self-help books or like the books that like kind of feel like they're like yelling at you to do it. But I love nonfiction books, right? Like I love biographies, and that's exactly what I looked for. I was like, I just need to read the end of somebody's story or the like where they end the book where, you know, you find out that it wasn't what they expected, but it was okay.
Yeah. Where's the happy ending? Like, tell me there's going to be a happy ending, that there's, you know, some pot of gold at the end of this rainbow, and I'll keep climbing it. And that's what I'm finding now. Are things perfect? Oh my God. Absolutely not. I mean, this year for me, I've had a lot of loss. I've had all kinds of things. I mean, it's 2020. Who are we kidding? But I can tell you, it's actually been the best year for me out of the last decade. And that, well, number one, it goes to show you what the last decade was like, but also, but it also, it, I think, well, at least it tells me that things can improve. Things are on the up and up, and we can recreate ourselves and redefine who we are and what our life's purpose is. And even if we want to, I believe too, that we can not get back to some of the things we used to do, but move forward. And maybe we do them a little differently, but we can still do them and incorporate them into our lives somehow. At least that's the road that I'm on. And for me, mindset is everything, everything. And the more I focus on what I can do as opposed to what I can't, and what I do have as opposed to what I don't, my days are so much brighter and fuller than they ever were before, even before this journey.
I love that. I love that so much. And I think exactly what you said, just knowing like you wish that you had someone to reference when you were going through what you were going through, because I remember being there. I remember, you know, after my first surgery in 2016, I remember I woke up, I had horrible, horrible pain upon waking up. I was diagnosed with chronic regional pain syndrome. At the time, our first son wasn't even two. And I was just like, how am I going to do this? I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I, for the first time in my life, was in a place that I've never been in. And it was so dark. And it was just so depressing. And I had never been there before. And I was like, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to go to. And so I think what you're doing, you know, taking your situation and being that person for someone is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I think we all can be that person just by sharing. But again, to do it when we feel comfortable in order to do it, you know, to fill up our own cup first. And I think a lot of people, they're, once they get to a certain point in their recovery or their healing, they do want to give back, and they want to share, and they want to be heard and acknowledged, which I completely understand. But sometimes we're quick to jump the gun, and then that can be where setbacks come up and whatnot. I know a lot of people that have done that. So I would always encourage anyone, take care of yourself first. I mean, really take care of yourself, like parent yourself to the point where it is so boring and dull. And I can't stand boring. I'm such a Gemini. Like, ugh. But
I'm a Gemini.
Are you?
Yes.
I love June 12th. That. Oh, June 5th. Woohoo.
Good science stuff. You might have the back surgery and Philly thing, but I'm a Gemini.
I love that. But yeah, Teresa, I know exactly what you're saying. And I think we're all on the same page. And isn't that a beautiful thing? I mean, I never could have imagined this years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, like we exist. You know, others, there are more, you know, like there's others.
Yeah, we are not the only one on this island.
Yes, exactly.
E.T. phone home.
Yes, I'll get the Reese's Pieces.
Love it. I love Reese's Pieces.
Oh, now I want some.
Okay, let's just be clear. Reese's Pieces or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, there's a difference.
There's two different candies.
I know, there's a difference.
I like both.
I don't like Reese's Pieces.
What?
Oh. I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Like,
she's the off the island. Brooke, she's done. She's off the island.
No, okay. First of all, I was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the bomb dig. However, not so sure about the Reese's Pieces.
What is it about the Pieces that you don't like?
I don't know.
They're the M&M of peanut butter.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I like M&Ms, though. I like peanut M&Ms. You know, I have so many odd things, and that could be a whole nother episode. But, Brooke, we're going to keep this about you, because Lord knows we don't need another reason to call me weird. So, what is one thing you wish people could understand, both of you, actually, about things you struggle with when, you know, like longer term, short term mental health from your accident, your journey?
Oh my gosh. Would you like to go first, Teresa? I could talk for an hour about that alone.
I like want to punch her through the mic. And
oh my
be
God,
like,
she's so,
what
she's
are
so
you
angry at me.
Doing?
She this like, is why Teresa writes the scripts.
I guess for me and my situation, you know, I really want people to not always take things as face value, you know, and everyone's fighting a battle that you know nothing about. You know, just because I'm able to walk now, when I couldn't walk in 2016 before my first surgery, you know, just because I'm able to do certain things doesn't mean I'm doing them without suffering. You know, I'm in pain 24/7 of my life. It'll never end. You know, it'll never go away. I can ease it with certain things, but I will always be operating at some level of pain. And just because you see me with a smile on my face, or just because you see me with my kids, I'm doing that because my kids deserve that. You know, my kids deserve to grow up and not have my pain be the forefront of their childhood. And, you know, if that means me masking it and breaking down later when they're asleep, then that's what I'll do. So I just want people to not take everything as face value and to believe people, to believe the person that's smiling, but then saying they're in so much pain, they it hurts to walk. You know, I just want this level of understanding and belief that people can hopefully learn and give, because it is hard to constantly feel like you're having to convince people.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't have said that better. That's so, so beautifully said. And I applaud you for what you're doing for your kids.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, that's amazing. And
she's a super mom.
A super mom indeed. Yeah. Mom of the year, mom of the decade, for sure.
Thank you.
That's incredible.
If you want to go ahead and put that on her TikTok so that, you know, some of the trolls out there can read it, because.
Oh, don't even get me started about internet trolls. I'll share with you. Well, okay, first I'll answer your question. And then if you'd like, I'll tell you an internet troll thing.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. So to echo what Teresa just really beautifully said, I completely agree to not judge. I mean, I just wish people wouldn't judge. And the whole thing with having something that's invisible, oh my gosh. I mean, that alone, it's a recipe for disaster, because at least when someone's in a wheelchair or something, then it can be seen. And even for me, for years, I wore 24/7. I wore a hard plastic neck brace. I had to. And even that wasn't always, people didn't get it, you know, like in the beginning when I was still like, until things got really bad in that first year, and I would go to the grocery store, I would ask for someone helping me check out at the grocery store if they could pick up the bag and put it in the cart for me. And they would look at me like I was nuts, you know, things like that. Yeah. So yeah. I understand on that front. And then of course it goes into the family and friends front too. I think also it doesn't help when you're an actor by profession and then you tell people that something is going on with your health.
Yeah.
But then they see you always smiling and putting on this brave face.
Right.
then it's like, well, so wait, so is there any acting going on here? Yeah, actually, there's a lot of acting going on. The acting is putting on the brave
face.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
It's like you're never commended for it. It's like you're always condemned for it, if that makes
Yes. And then God forbid you share what you're going through. Well, now all of a sudden you're the Debbie Downer. So you can't.
I just feel like you could be more positive about your situation.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, well, then here I go. I'll be positive. Oh, everything's okay then. You're fixed. No. What don't you understand? There's a medium here. It doesn't have to be the pendulum swinging one way or the other. There's like middle ground. And I think that that's what people don't always get, people that haven't been through situations like this or haven't caretaking and for people, you know?
Different days could mean different things. Like there are some days I wake up and I do forget genuinely that I'm sick. I mean, granted, I'm, you know, something happens and I'm reminded and whatever have you, but I have better days than others.
Yeah, absolutely. Period. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I mean, I, like going back to mindset, I've done so much extensive mindset work over the last few years, and that has helped me tremendously because I what I do is I try to get ahead of it and be proactive with my thoughts. So that way, if and when anything does come up, I can handle it and it doesn't take me over like it did before, you know, like, it, so that's been a huge thing that's helped. But
when you say that, I have a question. When you say that, is that in terms of like, how others like perceive you or what you're going through or?
No, that's like, me. That's just me and how I perceive.
Like your own disease, like your own
condition. Struggle? And yeah, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Like even today, I right before we got on here, I was over at the doctor getting blood work taken. And it's like, okay, well, that was just anything like that. I'm just grateful to be able to ride in the car because I couldn't for so long. And, whereas in the past, it would have been, oh, here we go again. All right, now I have to do this. And I'm not driving and I have to be driven. And oh my gosh, I'm, you know, this 40-year-old woman who doesn't drive. And it would have been this rabbit hole of thoughts. And instead now it's, oh my gosh, look at this. What a beautiful day. I get to ride in a car. I get to go interact with a phlebotomist who might be nice. And she wound up being very nice. You know, things like that.
Hi, my name's Christine and I probably should enroll in your school.
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs a front row seat.
You know, miss, I'm just saying, yeah, she's going to be my partner, like my turn and talk partner is going to be TT over here, guys.
We'll stage an intervention.
Yeah, seriously, it's starting right now.
Yeah,
now. I do. Sometimes I have to get on these episodes and I'm like, Teresa, like, what did you set me up for here?
Oh, that's good though. Hey.
No, she's great. However, that's why I needed her to talk about her stuff too, because she's important. But now we want to know about the internet trolls.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. Okay, internet trolls are what they are. I picture them in two ways. In one way, it helps me laugh. And then in the other way, it helps me have more compassion and empathy. So when trolls do their thing, as, you know, trolls do, I picture them like underground and they're actually trolls, you know, and they're just like these silly little things. And maybe in order to like survive, they have to insult people and undermine people. Maybe that's their food, you know?
You made like a Smurf life for them.
Pretty much.
I love this. Oh my God. I love this so much.
You know? And so there they are. And they happen to have phones down there. How they have reception, I have no clue, but they do. And so like in order,
they have perfect reception down there. I just want to be very clear. Their comments always go.
Yes.
Yeah. I want their reception.
I know. The whole underground is just filled with cell towers.
They pay for the really expensive Wi-Fi down there.
They do. And so they're under there doing their thing, throwing out their insults, and that's their food. It's like, for lunch, Europe, whatever.
They should try kale.
They should. Yes. So they do that. And then on the other side, I know that deep down, anyone that is moved to say things that are anything other than a positive nature.
Hurt people.
That's exactly right. They're hurting and they don't even know it usually. So I feel compassion.
Which is really sad too, if you think about it. Like if you don't know how bad you're hurting inside, you know?
It's really sad. I can tell you, I mean, I've taken that perception with my parents because of this whole journey. And I had to go, all right, I want a relationship with them. They're a certain age, you know, I want to have a relationship with them. So I'm going to move forward. I'm going to forgive them. And this took years, but I had to look at it as, man, they are very hurt people and they're very scared people. And they're people that they haven't done the work I've done in life. And that is not judging them. That's not saying I'm better or I'm right and they're wrong or anything like that. It's just, they are who they are. And I think with anyone in our lives, if they've hurt us, when we can look at them that way, you know, and go, man, they're deep down, they're actually a sad person. Deep, deep, deep down, underneath all the insults, all the neglect, all the anger, even that they may show, under all of that is sadness. And I think we can have tremendous empathy for people when we view it that way. I had someone online that took things so far that she hired a private investigator.
What?
She had someone come out and like check me out. She didn't believe what was going on. She hacked a bunch of my accounts and told people that, you know, I wasn't who I said I was. All this stuff.
Brooke, I don't think that's a troll. I'm pretty sure that's a stalker.
Yeah. So, well, that's where I was going is that, yeah.
Was she trying to take your class or something and like thinking that you were lying or what?
Wait, what? I'm sorry. I missed the beginning.
Was she trying to like enroll in your classes and stuff and thinking you weren't?
Oh, no, no, no. This is years ago when I was just sharing my story online. That's all I was doing.
God.
And showing people what this was all about and not knowing that she herself was just a really sad person. Like I was saying, like really, really sad. And apparently it came out later that she had done this to many people who were in similar situations. She just got off on it. I don't know how to describe it. Like she got pleasure from hurting people that were going through really tough health situations. And that's what she would do over and over. So it got to the point where we actually had to move.
So holy crap.
We moved in the midst of all this. I was still housebound and we had to find a new place to live and then move. And
oh my God.
So, I mean, it was just,
well, folks, that is the extreme of trolls. So if you are a troll, don't get to that level. And if you're someone who shares your story, please be careful. That's my PSA.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take the troll win, Brooke. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Academy goes to.
Yeah, you definitely deserve an award for that one. Holy crap.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And people on a certain platform, on the live streaming platform, they started a fundraiser for me, a GoFundMe to help with medical expenses. And she completely hijacked that. So it was one thing after another. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And all I wanted was this person out of my life.
I listen to a lot of true crime. And I'm telling you, this whole thing could easily be a podcast episode on like Crime Junkie. No joke.
Oh, I could.
Except for the fact that you're living, which is great, but I'm just saying, like, this is like scary.
I could go into way more detail. And I'll tell you, I really haven't shared about it publicly because there was one article that came out where I alluded to it, but I've never gone in depth talking about it because quite frankly, I haven't wanted to. I've felt like,
oh, it's creepy.
It's creepy. And I felt like, thank God, you know, knock on wood, I'm past that. And she still exists somewhere out there. But I mean, we even had an attorney send her a cease and desist letter because of the stuff she was saying online and like just the slander and the defamation and all this stuff. And then the next day she went online and she told everyone, oh, you know, everybody, how I have this P.O. box. Well, the P.O. box has been changed. I mean, just randomly, the day after she gets the letter from my attorney, her P.O. box that she's had for years has changed.
Oh my gosh, this person sounds awful.
She has her own stuff, we'll put it that way.
But, like, you know, I really do appreciate, Brooke, what you said when you, like, the amount of hurt and pain inside of her that, like, her entire world revolves around causing pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the moment, it's not always easy to see that. But I do appreciate you bringing that out because it is so true.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And I'm glad that people were brave enough to come forward and finally tell me that they knew other people that she had been doing this to. And I mean, it was just so crazy. I mean, she put this fear in people. She certainly did to me. So I lived in this state of fear, even while going through all the other stuff that was happening. And that was all because I chose to start sharing what my journey was like online. And I did that because I felt like I no longer had a community and I needed to share and find people. You know, I was trying to find people around the world that could relate or benefit from what I had to share. And so, I mean, it was one like kick after another. And I mean, you really think like you've hit the most bottom of rock bottoms and then you keep going down. So again, that's why I say anyone that's listening, man, sometimes things will happen and you feel that way. You feel like there is no end in sight for the pain that you're feeling and the darkness and the devastation, for lack of a better word. But there is, there really is. And part of dealing with internet trolls also is to ignore them. Ignore them.
Yes, and I'm learning that.
To me. Oh my gosh, I let them rule my life for a couple of years. I took so much of what they had to say to heart, and it's like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? That's crazy. But we do it
to give them so much power. Yeah, to give power to people you don't even know. Isn't that funny?
It's very funny. Yeah, it's.
But I do like what you said too about the you know, when you think you're at the bottom, because it's so true. When you're going through hell, just keep going.
Just keep going. That's what Babylon means.
Take it away, TT.
That was my next question. Perfect segue.
Ah!
So we wanted to obviously highlight not just your struggle with your injuries, but what you're doing now. So we actually really would love for you to tell our listeners about Babylon Brook.
So Babylon Brook came about in 2015, and all that time spent laying on the massage table, staring at the ceiling, wondering why I was here and why I was fighting so hard, I had to come up with something, some kind of mantra to say to myself. And the fact that I was laying there, unable to speak, I mean, that was the worst. You can't even express yourself. You can't even communicate to your partner how you're feeling or what's going on. And they ask you what your symptoms are. You can't tell them, you know, like, I mean, it's just wild. So I've always been called a babbling brook. I've always loved to talk. I mean, it really became my profession and my favorite thing to do. And there I was, not able to do it for so long. So I would tell myself to babble on. And that to me meant keep going. Like, keep going, even though you don't know why, keep going, babble on. And I would just say it over and over to myself. So when I decided to get online and start sharing my journey, I knew I didn't want to go on as my full name, including my last name, because to me, that person no longer existed, at least then. You know, at some point, I'm sure I'll merge the two. But for that period, that was just no way was I going to do that. I wasn't talking to my family. The last thing I wanted to do was use my family name. I mean, there were just a lot of reasons. So Babylon Brook, it just came to me. I'm like, this makes sense. And so, yeah, that's where that came from. And so now what I do is I'm an inspirational speaker. I speak for podcasts and different events, any chance or opportunity where it's going to help people and empower them to keep going. So I share my journey that I call From Hollywood to Housebound to Healing, of this 9-year wild health journey that we've been talking about. And then I'm also, as we touched upon before, I'm also a coach for mostly women entrepreneurs. And I help them by giving them a blend of marketing and mindset coaching. So that nice blend of life and business to holistically go after the personal and the professional lives so that they can attract more of their target demographic, stand out from competition, and more powerfully and easily stand out in this world and make the difference that they're meant to make.
Take all of my money, coach me through my life. We love that so much, Brooke. And like I said, I mean, you're ready. You've converted me. So, I mean, and I asked Teresa, I'm like not about the coach life. I didn't want to be the captain of my ship. So, like, let's be real. Where can our listeners find you, follow you, connect with you?
They can find me on a lot of different platforms. I'm the same name across the board, at Babble on Brooke. They can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, have your pick. You can also go to babbleonbrooke.com. I would highly recommend signing up for my email list because every month I send out motivational mindset tips and tools so that you'll be able to start this journey with yourself and stay on it, you know, consistently by being proactive with your life and choosing your thoughts, reprogramming your brain. You know, there's so much to be said about doing that, becoming very clear and confident and even creative. And when I say that, again, you can do that on the business side, which is great and important. But even people out there that are listening that you're not an entrepreneur, you have no interest in any kind of business or service or product or message or anything. You just want to live your life. All these things I've said can still be applied to your personal life and, quite frankly, would be best applied to your personal life. Our thoughts and our brains are so powerful, but when we choose to tell them who's boss and start, Christine, start steering your ship.
Oh, boy. I'm going to let my mom know. I'm going to, like, block this episode from my mom. Yeah.
Well, hey, okay, then I got to say this. Let's just look at it this way. If we're all on the ship, right, we have our own ship, we can either float around in the ocean until we...
I thought you were helping me out here.
Well, I, you know, but...
No, you were just like, why don't you just... You were just like, no, Christine's mom, I'm going to make sure you know how right you are. Go on, Brooke.
Nail in the coffin. No, but really, we could float around aimlessly and hope that maybe we find a destination, or we can choose to be really direct, really clear, and really confident with where we're going and choose where we're going so that we can end up where we want to be. And that's the thing that I think most people, they don't make that choice. And so they wander around aimlessly throughout life. But we can. Every single one of us has the power to make that choice. So if there's anything I leave anyone with, you know, in this episode, it's choose that. Choose yourself and to create the life that you want to create, regardless of what you're going through with physical, mental, emotional symptoms, you can still make your life what you want it to be.
Yes. Louder for the people in the back.
Brooke, before I let you go, I will definitely, obviously, as all of our listeners know, all this great information will be down there in the show notes. But we have a special little thing that Brooke has given us for our listeners. So, Brooke, will you tell them a little bit about that so they know what that is at the bottom?
I'm so excited about this. I have a training coming out in a few weeks. And it's called How to Survive and Thrive in Isolation. It's to do exactly what I was just talking about, how to make the most of your time when you're alone with your thoughts. So isolation doesn't have to be just physical. Of course, in today's day and age, a lot of us are experiencing physical isolation. And with the winter coming, there's probably going to be more of that anyhow. But many people experience, and a lot of people I'm sure listening can attest to it, mental isolation, emotional isolation, and having the winter coming up, having the holidays, having the new year, it's going to trigger that. So I decided to come out with this now, where it is my top 10 lessons on how to make the most of your time while isolated. And again, it can be applied to your life personally, it can be applied to your business, or a blend of the two. And so listeners to this awesome podcast will be receiving 50% off when you use code RARE, R-A-R-E. And the way to be notified when the training comes out is to sign up for my email list at babbleonbrooke.com.
And like I said, guys, I put all that information for you at the bottom in our show notes, but I just wanted you to hear it from the wonderful Brooke herself.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brooke, thank you so much for sitting down with us and sharing your story. Situations like yours truly are not talked about enough. The invisible side of things that are very visible for us, but others can't see, are some of the hardest struggles to endure. So thank you so much for taking your time tonight to help bring them to light.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope it helped. I really, even if it just helped one person, then that makes this all worth it.
Exactly. At least one person is more than enough.
Yep.
It made a difference to this one.
Yes. As always, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in every week and learning about others, learning about us. And until next time.
Live large and stay rare.
Thanks for listening to the Because We're Strong podcast. To continue the conversation about rare disease and all the unknowns that come with it, don't forget to subscribe and catch us next week for another episode. To learn more about our stories or how to share yours, visit www.findyourrare.com. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to connecting and bridging the gap between the struggles of the rare disease community and the rest of the world.